This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. 2011 was certainly an eventful year, but as we tracked major events from the very beginning of the year, such as the tragic shootings in Arizona, to the very end of the year and the congressional showdown over tax rates at the holidays, we also noted the passing of many famous figures and some very infamous ones who died this year. We now take a final look back at those lives, from politics and international headlines to sports, from music to the movies, and many more. And we begin at a compound in Pakistan. Ever since the first Gulf War, Saudi billionaire Osama bin Laden wanted to kill Americans. He masterminded three attacks in the Middle East and East Africa, even before that horrific day of September 11, 2001, when America was shaken by the evil he envisioned. On the run in Afghanistan and Pakistan for almost a decade after that fateful day, U.S. intelligence led a team of Navy SEALs to bin Laden's hideout in early May. Two bullets later, the al-Qaeda leader was dead. Bin Laden was 54. So who would take bin Laden's place as inspirational leader?
And I eventually came to the conclusion that jihad against America is binding upon myself just as it is binding on every other able Muslim.
Many in the radical Muslim world turned to American-born cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, who was seen as a master of propaganda. But a U.S. drone attack in September killed al-Awlaki as he hid and worked in Yemen. He was 40 years old.
Today we can definitively say that the Gaddafi regime has come to an end.
President Obama announcing the end of Muammar Gaddafi. Gaddafi brutalized his own people for more than 40 years. For many of those same years, he also terrorized the West in general and the United States in particular. Bombings he ordered killed U.S. service members in Berlin in 1986 and 270 people aboard a Pan Am flight in 1988. The so-called Arab Spring spawned a rebel uprising that was soon assisted by the U.S. and Western European nations in Libya. Deposed in August, Gaddafi was finally killed by rebels in October. He was believed to be 69. Kim Jong-il was also thought to be 69 years old, but he died of natural causes in December. The ruthless communist dictator of North Korea for 17 years, Kim continued pursuing a nuclear weapons program at the expense of millions of his own people, dying of starvation. During the Cold War, Václav Havel pursued freedom for the people of Czechoslovakia. While the fight was long and he spent considerable time in rough prisons for confronting the Soviet-backed regime, Havel finally saw his dream realized when the Iron Curtain crumbled in the late 1980s. Elected the first democratic president in the wake of the wall coming down, Havel also oversaw the peaceful separation of the Czech Republic and Slovakia in the early 1990s. Havel was 75 when he died in December. Andrei Sakharov was a famous Soviet dissident. He died a number of years ago, but right alongside him during that fateful fight against the Soviet Empire was his wife Yelena Bonner. She died this year at the age of 88. Her husband had no plans to be president, and she had no desire to be first lady. But Gerald and Betty Ford stepped in to heal America in the wake of the Watergate crisis. Betty Ford spoke out on women's issues and also gained legions of fans with her honest discussions on breast cancer and substance abuse. She founded the Betty Ford Rehabilitation Center after leaving the White House and was active there until her death.
I had to show that I was serious and that I had sufficient experience not only to be vice president, but if the need ever arose, to be president of the United States.
Geraldine Ferraro was also a trailblazer. The New York congresswoman made history in 1984 when Democratic presidential nominee Walter Mondale made her the first female vice presidential nominee in history. They lost badly, but Ferraro remained active in politics despite more than a decade-long battle with multiple myeloma. She finally lost that battle in March at the age of 75. Warren Christopher was a public servant for decades. After stints in the Johnson and Carter administrations, in 1993, Christopher rose to his highest office, Secretary of State for President Bill Clinton. Christopher died in March at the age of 85.
They had that attitude before they ever came into office. During the campaign, you could see it. They have done nothing since they came into office except beat up on Israel.
Lawrence Eagleburger was the first and only career Foreign Service officer to serve as Secretary of State. He held the post during the final months of the George H.W. Bush administration and was thereafter a fixture on cable news shows and, as you could tell, not afraid to voice his opinions. Eagleburger was 80. General John Shalikashvili rose to the highest uniformed position in the U.S. military when President Clinton tapped him to replace General Colin Powell as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a position he held from 1993 to 1997. General Shalikashvili was 75. Sergeant Shriver led a very distinguished career in public service. After marrying into the Kennedy family in the 1950s, President Kennedy tapped Shriver to launch the Peace Corps in the early 60s. Just over a decade later, Shriver came to the rescue, helping his fellow Democrats when their original vice presidential nominee stepped down from the ticket. Shriver was also a close partner with wife Eunice in starting and tirelessly promoting the Special Olympics. Sergeant Shriver died in January at age 95. Mark Hatfield served his state of Oregon for 4 decades, 10 years in state government, including 8 as governor, and then 30 years in the U.S. Senate as a prominent moderate Republican. Hatfield died in August at age 89. Hugh Carey served 7 terms in Congress before being elected governor of New York in one of its darkest hours. Credited by many for restoring the Empire State's fiscal stability, Carey died in August at the age of 92.
In a curious way, you feel like you're part of the team around the operating table because you're doing something that actively helps to make that operation go better.
Bernadine Healy led both the National Institutes of Health as its first ever female director and the American Red Cross during a very critical time. She received strong reviews at the Red Cross until allegations of financial irregularities in the wake of 9/11 eventually led to her resignation. Healy remained a passionate health advocate right up until her death from brain cancer in August at age 67. A hero from the civil rights era also died this year. The Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth was a pillar of strength in Birmingham during some of the most intense racial turmoil of the 1960s. He passed away in October at age 89.
The person has a natural right to request help by a competent professional in ending his life. And the competent professional has a natural right to accede to that request and help him.
Dr. Jack Kevorkian was seen by some as an angel of mercy and by others as nothing more than a murderer. Known by many as Dr. Death, Kevorkian helped dozens of patients take their own lives by setting up a lethal injection that the patient then initiated. It was when Kevorkian administered the fatal dose himself that he was finally convicted of second-degree murder and sent to prison. Kevorkian died of natural causes in June. He was 83. In the world of media,
I drink an average of 2 beers a year, and neither of them is Bud Light. If I had time to take care of a cat, I wouldn't get a cat. I'd get a dog.
Those are just a couple of the observations over the many years from Andy Rooney that ran from the serious to the comical. Best known for his 60 Minutes commentaries, Rooney was a professional writer from World War II until his death in November, just weeks after signing off his TV role. Rooney was 92. David Broder was known as the Dean of Washington Political Reporters. The longtime Washington Post reporter and columnist covered every presidential race since 1956. And even in 2008, he was trudging door-to-door in Iowa to find out what voters had on their minds. Broder was 81 when he died in March. Hal Bruno excelled in multiple forms of media, including a long and successful stint at Newsweek. He later was political director for ABC News and moderated the 1992 vice presidential debate. Bruno was 83 when he died in November.
Imagine those two claims put together. One, a fantastic claim, and the other, a fantastic claim that you can't challenge. That is totalitarianism defined. It's a rape and butchery of the First Amendment of our Constitution.
That's Vanity Fair columnist Christopher Hitchens commenting on a UN resolution that would make it wrong to criticize Islam in any way. Hitchens had a strong opinion of just about everything, and most people had a strong opinion of him. Known for his harsh criticisms of President Clinton, his strong support for U.S. military action after 9/11, and his strident atheism, Hitchens died of brain cancer in December. He was 62. Two of America's favorite cartoonists died in 2011. Longtime Family Circus author Bill Keane was 89 when he died in November. Ziggy creator Tom Wilson died in September. He was 80. And a man who made life a whole lot easier for news anchors and politicians alike, Hubert Schlafly Jr., the inventor of the teleprompter, died in April. He was 91. One of the most widely reported deaths came in the business world this year. Apple co-founder and chairman Steve Jobs lost a battle with cancer in October. The innovator of the personal computer, the iPod, the iPad, the iPhone, and so much more was 56 years old. You may not know who Arch West is, but I bet you've eaten his product. West invented Doritos, which quickly became a money-making phenomenon. West was 97 when he died in September. And with that, we've reached the midway point of our presentation of those famous figures who have left us in the year 2011. We've covered politics, the international stage. We've also talked about media figures and business leaders. Please look for the second half of this presentation elsewhere on this site. In that segment, we'll be covering those who left us from the world of sports, the movies, television, music, and more. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.